Good morning, church. It seems that the congregation is slipping further and further away. And then I'm feeling a bit... First, I apologize to the folks who are sitting in front because you'll see more of my back. But I think that I want to be closer to the folks, and you cannot hide. Will you join me in prayer? God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, our guide, our wisdom, our creator. Amen. How are you feeling today? Gary's great. You're great. Me, not so great. You can hear that I'm very congested. I'm very grateful that I'm not hacking away because at the worst of this, every breath I take, I will be hacking away. I finish one sentence, I'll be coughing. I maybe cannot even finish a sentence. But I'm grateful to find solutions, medications that helped last night. So I had a good sleep. And I woke up today less congested than before and probably able to deliver without a coughing fit. I'm not at my best. And I have not been at my best for a while. And some of the things are about, some of what I'm wrestling with is about what's going on in the world. News of the fires that ravage the rainforest all over the world, not only in Amazon, but in our neighboring Indonesia, where we are getting the haze. But not because the haze affects us, but all that is suffering in creation. The rainforests that cannot be replaced. News of inhumane treatment of people who are different, murdered, violence that continue to plague the world. Another news of another shooting. And even the treatment of protesters in Hong Kong. It is news of a world that's slipping into a spiral that is going out of control and seems to not be getting any better. Some of you might be anxious about what is going on in your own life. And very often, the more we know, the more we realize how little we do know and how little control or impact that we have. And it's like this, there's times like this that we gather. We gather to remember, we gather to do in faith, we gather to discern, we gather to love each other, we gather to encourage each other. And I want to read from this week's lectionary passage from Hebrews 13. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For God has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that confess God's name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. The Apostle Paul quotes from the book of Joshua, God saying to Joshua, I will never leave you or forsake you. Is it something that we believe in? That God will never leave us or forsake us? In our times of trials, in times of little hope, in our desperation, do we believe that God will not forsake us? Actually, if Jesus, at the moment of deepest despair and hopelessness and great suffering, on the cross shouted, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," my God, why have you forsaken me? Then I think we should not beat ourselves up when we doubt, when we struggle. The point is not to remain in despair, but move from despair to hope and from doubt to faith. Yes, it's difficult to say, yes, I believe I will that God will never leave me or forsake me. It's easy to say it in good times, but in bad times, we doubt. And that's okay. Are we able to say confidently, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Paul was addressing the audience of this epistle to the Hebrews who were facing trials and persecution. Well, we don't have trials and persecution to that extent today here in Singapore. But I wonder, are we able to say, what can anyone do to me? I imagine myself as a young man in Hong Kong, maybe out in the streets protesting, knowing my own character. And I can imagine being beaten up. And I wonder whether I can say, what can anyone do to me? Well, they can. They can beat the life out of me and I can end up dead or in the hospital or losing an eye. Persecution might be a stretch to describe what many of us face here. But the reality is, there are anxieties and fears that weigh us down. The future looks bleak, and the fate of the world looks uncertain. So in my reflections this week, I tried to wrap my mind around what was actually going on. And I felt as though I was getting nowhere. The world is at a worse place now than I started on my journey to answer my call 8 years ago, or so I think. I thought that I have not made a dent. 2 days ago, actually, is it 2 days ago or 3 days ago? 3 days ago, it was my anniversary of my ordination. And that was the time I was reflecting and the time of struggle. And during that time, I was also in conversation with one of the new parents of our congregation. And I was, you know, asking how they are doing, how the mother's doing, how the baby's doing. And then also they asked, how are you? And I said, well, I'm concerned about what's happening in the world globally. Almost feels like we're helpless and we're leaving the future that's bleak for the generations to come. And this is the thing that you should know. Sometimes you are the one pastoring us, the leaders or the pastors. And the reply was one that gave me hope and gave me maybe the confidence to say that the Lord is my helper. I'll not be afraid. The reply was, I think it's hard to spend much time paying attention to the news without getting sad, angry, frustrated, and/or fearful. Part of this is by design. Those feelings are easier to sell. It's also hard to determine where the line is between sticking one's head in the sand and paying attention but being overwhelmed by the outside world. I have to try to accept that there's a lot I disagree with. But instead of getting angry and spending all my emotional energy there, I just try to do what I can in my little sphere to make the world a tiny bit better, or at minimum, not worse. Knowing that I have a safe community I can rely on and seek shelter from is very important to me. Such community also reinstalls my faith in humanity. Ultimately, if you're doing Christ's work, we don't need to worry about what's happening in the outside world. God takes care of that. And Christ's work is pretty simple. especially in a world that is still in pain, providing to those in need, the downtrodden, those rejected by society, which you do. I won't go as far to say that we don't worry about what's happening in the outside world, because that can make us an insular community. We only look inside. We only care about ourselves and those within the four walls. I think that we need to be aware of what is going on in the world so that we can be open to God's invitation to participate in the work of healing, the work of justice, the work of love. And I read from a page from a book by Matt Haig, Reasons to Stay Alive. And it's very appropriate in relation to what, you know, I was told. The world is increasingly designed to depress us. Happiness isn't very good for the economy. If we were happy with what we had, why would we need more? How do you sell an anti-aging moisturizer? You make someone worry about getting old. How do you get people to vote for a political party? You make them worry about immigration. How do you get them to buy insurance? By making them worry about everything. How do you get them to have plastic surgery? By highlighting their physical flaws. How do you get people to watch a TV show? By making them worry about missing out. How do you get them to buy a new smartphone, like me? By making them feel like they're being left behind. To be calm becomes a kind of revolutionary act. To be happy with your own non-upgraded existence, to be comfortable with our messy human selves, would not be good for business. And that might run against some of you who are in marketing or sales. But that's the truth. It's not good for economy. But part of it is learning of our role and learning to be to trust that God will not forsake us. You see, when I realized that actually we are doing God's work. I mean, we have folks who went over to volunteer at Tea Shelter and to do, well, we were supposed to paint and then do spring cleaning, but they decided not to get a new coat of paint because it's still quite okay. It was just spring cleaning, and our folks went down to volunteer. We have a monthly, well, not monthly, it depends on the their requirements, but we have the Tea Mart. So we provide groceries for the Tea Shelter and several other transgender folk who are in need. And these groceries is their source of sustenance in some way. We have people volunteering to teach English to migrant workers at HOME, the Humanitarian Organization for Migrant Economics. And yesterday, a group went down to IMH because we adopted two wards. I think it's really for 5 years already. We have adopted two wards in IMH, and we visit them every month. And these are people who might be left behind, forgotten. And the time that I accompanied Mark and the folks to visit, the interesting thing is that the patients recognize them. They visited often enough to have a relationship, to build that love, that care, that someone, this someone I can talk to, I trust. Of course, I was a newbie visiting. Some of them, you know, wasn't that friendly because they don't recognize who I am. But that the interaction between some of them was very powerful for me. In some ways, is witnessing love in action. And I think that we need to be remembering this, that we need to continually be doing the work. And here I want to say this. When we gather to worship, often, and I think this is the problem with Christianity today, we almost treat Sunday, coming to church, as the central thing, and doing the work of justice, love, compassion, as the peripheral. It's the good to have. But every day, every Sunday, you should be in church. And I think that's wrong, and that's getting it backwards. That's something that we need to reconsider a little. Not just a little. I think we have to reconsider totally how we operate as Christians, as followers of Christ. You see, worship isn't the only thing that we are that's required. It almost sounds like that. Because we often only hear, just now I read from Hebrews 13, that we continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. We hear that often. We offer God a sacrifice of praise. But we don't realize that the following verse is attached to this verse. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Worship isn't the only thing God requires of us. And in I want to go to Isaiah 58, which is quite important. And for those of you who attend FCC regularly, you realize that you'll be familiar with some of the verses in this passage. And from Isaiah 58, I'm reading the entire chapter. Shout it aloud, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their rebellion and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet, on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I have chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? No. Is not this the fast I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and the Lord will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom will be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trembling the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath of a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own way, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs. Then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Do you know what's a yoke? I mean, when I first came to FCC, and this is part of our communion, right? You know, we will break every yoke. I had no idea what a yoke was, and I was 30-something then already. Quite embarrassing to ask, you know. Like, excuse me, what's a yoke? We read that every week, almost every other week or so. This is a yoke. It's what you put on two beasts of burdens, and they will drag, usually a carriage or a plow. This is what is described. And in the passage that describes breaking the yoke, is to remove the oppression on the people who have been shackled by the system in society. I want you to see it, because sometimes when we say certain things, we don't visualize it. Because this is the reality is that this yoke today on people's neck is not visible. It is injustice that is hidden from us, perhaps in some way. It is inequality, oppression, and we need to be concerned about it, because nobody is free until all are free. We come to a significant point in our community. Anyone knows what we're trying to do next week? This is very stressful. You know me, you all don't know what's happening next week. We're having our EOGM next week. And for those of you who are first time here or who might not be, who might be new to our church, might not be members, you might not be in touch, lah, because we send out the emails to the members of the church. We're calling for a extraordinary general meeting to make a decision about this place, this property, whether we are going to sell it or not. Long story cut short is that this property has a 30-year lease, just like HDB got 9 years. And we have reached the 10th year of the lease. And if we don't sell, next year the prices will drop. For those of you who have owned HDB property, you know that after 40 years, the property prices will drop because the banks are less willing to loan the maximum amount. So it's harder to buy. You need more upfront cash. And so we need to make a decision around that. There are many questions that will spring up for you, right, when you hear, we're going to sell this place. And just like it did for me when it was first proposed. And I hope that in the past couple of months, since the board has been presenting and communicating, that we have addressed some of these questions with you. If you still have concerns and questions, please step forward and ask one of the board members, or even myself and Pauline, and we'll be happy to talk to you more about it. And even if you're not a registered member of FCC, that means that you don't get to vote on the decision, we're still happy to answer your questions. You're still part of this community, even if you don't have an opportunity to vote. My first question that popped out, it was, where are we going to worship then? We have a privileged place here that's very near the MRT, convenient. While this is not a perfect space, it has become home for us. And while this is not Brexit, it is still a major decision for us. We don't have an ugly divide across folks who want to sell or folks who want to remain. And we desire to make this decision wisely and as a community. But whichever way the decision goes next week, we need to realize that this decision isn't just about the property. This decision is about who we are called to be as a community. And we need to remember our call. Are we just about having a space to worship? Or are we called to be bigger than that? That we are supposed to be acting. Have we, like I suggested earlier, got everything backwards? That what is central has become peripheral, and what is peripheral has become central. Our worship isn't just about praising God. Yes, we should continually offer a sacrifice of praise and also give of ourselves to others to participate in the work that God has called us to do. It's not an either or, it's both and. And in whatever we are called to do may not necessarily require us to have a space in some ways. It's something to think about, to decide together. When we get anxious around decisions to be made, whether we are selling or remaining, we need to keep in mind as we discern, we need to remember that God is our helper and not be afraid. We should not allow fear to dictate how we decide, but we need to decide in hope. We gather every Sunday to worship, to remember, together in faith, for what? What do we gather to remember about? I believe that we are to remember that we are called to be faithful and seek out God's ways and God's will and not our own. If we put Christ at the heart of our lives, at the heart of our community, then justice, love, compassion should be central to our work. And we should not be afraid of what happens. We have journeyed quite far. And those of us who have been around for a while, through all the various venues we have met at, will tell you, I will tell you, I never thought that we'll get our own place, that's one. I never thought that we'll be so big. I never thought I'll be the pastor either. But God worked in our community in amazing ways, and all these little miracles that us from place to place, from season to season, we need to discern who we are called to be and how we all participate in this work. It is not up to just a few people, but how all of us participate in doing the work of God. That's what a faith community should look like. And not the other way around. Not, oh, the requirement is to come on Sunday to church. Well, I think that there's more to that. Would you be able to say, God will not forsake me or leave me? And do you believe that God will not forsake us and leave us? I think God, like the pillar of fire and smoke with the Israelites in the desert, has been ever present with us. There are times that I struggle when people say, oh, let us come, let us, I'm trying to remember the words that I used to have, used to be a bugbear for me and annoy me a little bit when, you know, because about asking God to be here. I think God is always here. It's us who are not aware of God's presence with us. And it's opening up our awareness of God's presence in this community every step of the way. So in this coming week, I want to invite all of you, whether you are registered members or not, who can vote, to pray. To pray for two things. First of which, of course, I've already said about the decision to sell or buy the place. To make the wise decision. And to be honest, I think God is either way also okay. That is, whether we sell or buy the place, God is not neither inclined, to borrow the words from the song that we have, neither way inclined. But God is asking, you sell already, you sell this place, who are you going to be next? How are you going to live out my charge to you, my call to you as a community? How are you going to live it out, whether you have a space or not, right? When you remain here, then how do you continue to live out this charge that I've called you as a church? Sell, don't sell, neither way inclined. And we need to pray about how, the second part of the prayer is, how we participate in that. And this is not a plug to ask you to give money to the building fund. I'm not doing that. But I'm asking you, how do you participate in God's work in this community, through this community, out into the world? Not just being here on Sunday. How do you live your life as a beacon of hope and light to change things so that when people see you, people see God. People see hope. People see that there is something different and the world is not as bleak as it seems. To be resilient against the hopelessness that's in the world. To be the people of love. To reclaim the word Christian. That when people see that person is a Christian because that person is loving, compassionate, kind, and you know, only speak good and not evil. That used to be what Christian means, you know. Now it just seems to be judgmental, you know, hypocritical, self-righteous. We need to reclaim that identity and not be ashamed of being Christians. We need to reclaim this from people who have lost their way. And I think that we have lost our way ourselves because we got distracted along the way. Distracted by how we need to look. Distracted by the ways of the world. Let's return to the heart, the core, what is central, that is not just about meeting on Sundays, but to live out the lives that testify to God's love, testify to justice, testify to this God who loves every single one. Then the light will break forth like the dawn, and we will no longer be afraid. We will call, and the Lord will answer. We shall cry for help, and the Lord will say, "Here I am."